Hey, this is Carlos Castellanos. Welcome to the first Drawn by Success recorded Q&A call. You know, I usually get a few questions from illustrators and cartoonists regarding everything from, marketing and pricing to crappy clients, finding better clients, being more productive, and just everything in between. And, you know, for me, this is an area that I really, really enjoy spending my time in, helping other creative freelancers become more successful, sharing my almost 30 years of experience running my own full-service art studio to freelancing as an illustrator, syndicated cartoonist, and entrepreneur. I'm really, really jazzed about finally being able to do this. So anyway, today's Q&A is from a web cartoonist who contacted me a few days ago with some questions regarding syndication, pricing, some specific market questions, the all-too-troublesome wait-for-it web versus print argument, which I have my own opinions on, among other things. We actually cover quite a bit here, so let's get started.
Hi, Carlos. Hi. Well, one of the things I was wondering is, as far as syndication goes, I was wondering kind of, you know, how that started for you and what the actual process was. You know, I've received some rejection letters myself, and, you know, it's not a good day, but, you know, I'm continuing to, you know, send stuff out there. And I was just wondering, you know, what actually is the process and what happens? Do you get a phone call? How do the contracts work? Did you get a lawyer involved? You know, that kind of stuff. So I was wondering if you could maybe tell me a little bit about your journey of syndication and how that happened.
Sure. Now, do you have a list of all the syndicates already that you plan on sending your work to?
Well, you know, I've already sent them there, okay. And I think, I don't have it right in front of me.
Okay, so for those who don't know, syndicates do make their submission guidelines available on their websites. You know, so you'll know exactly what's required when sending in your submissions. Well, when we got started, aside from the cover letter with the brief comic strip description and the 4 to 6 weeks daily comic strips required by most syndicates, we also included quite a bit of support material in terms of market research for the strip. You see, at the time we were submitting the strip, there weren't any other Hispanic-themed comic strips in the paper, so we wanted to be sure that the syndicates were aware of the opportunity in the growing market that wasn't being exploited, that being the Hispanic market. On our first round of mail-outs, of course, we received our fair share of rejection letters. We were lucky enough, though, to pique the interest of two major syndicates, those of Tribune and Universal Press. After some deliberation and many conversations, we finally decided to go with Universal Press Syndicate. We were offered a 3-month development contract under which we continued to, basically produce the strip while we were working closely with the syndicate editors. At the end of the 3 months, they signed us up for the syndication contract and scheduled a launch date. So, you know, it went relatively quickly for us, and we were actually, you know, pretty lucky in that sense. Just as an aside, you know, the creators that the syndicates show an interest in will be put under a development deal for upwards of a year sometimes, only to be released by, you know, from their contracts, and nothing ever happens with their feature. So, you know, the purpose of the development period also for the syndicate is to see, you know, if the concept has legs and to see if the creator can deliver the same level of work that they saw, you know, in their 4 to 6 week submissions. A few creators just, you know, quickly discover the immense pressure of having to produce, you know, strips on a daily basis and figure out it's not for them and drop out. And yes, we did hire a lawyer.
Right. Can I ask you this? I've heard that a lot of times it's like it's very unusual in that it's not like a 50-50 split between, you know, cartoonist or creator and syndicate, you know, or that it is a 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, you know, any other agent where it's like 80-20 or, you know.
The 50-50 split is fairly standard in the industry. The syndicate's reasoning for this is they see themselves as a partner versus your agent in this relationship. Just as an aside, I think the use of the word partner versus agent in and of itself is an interesting lesson on how the use of certain words describing what you do can add more perceived value and reposition your offering in the marketplace in such a way that justifies a higher fee. You know, this has nothing to do with the syndication stuff. Also, they cite that typically it takes about a year or so for them to make back their investment in a comic strip launch, which includes PR, material, mailings, traveling, sales force, selling, and all that kind of stuff. Of course, if it turns out that you have a really, really popular strip on your hands and the syndicate is in the black very quickly and you did a good job negotiating for a shorter contract, let's say 5 years, you could probably, in all likelihood, be able to renegotiate those terms to a more favorable split than the 50-50 you went in with. And a side note on that is, you know, be careful with automatic renewal clauses in the contract. Using the example I just gave you, if there's an automatic renewal clause in place, you might not have the right to renegotiate your original terms when the syndicate chooses to exercise their renewal rights at the end of the term. So what you want to be able to do is, at the end of the term, be able to renegotiate before the renewal kicks in, because they could renew for another 5-10 years, depending on what your contract says, without having to change any of the terms. Also, be sure that if an automatic renewal clause is in effect, you and the syndicate can renegotiate the terms of, you know, at the end of the contract, and must be in agreement on the new terms before, you know, the contract renewal is exercised by the syndicate. As a great business philosopher, Jim Rohn says, you don't get what you're worth, you get what you negotiate.
Now, this is a very unique business. Now, are there certain lawyers that specialize in this? Or I imagine you can't just go to any lawyer that, you know, does wills or whatever and that he'll know, you know, how to negotiate with this. Is there a way to kind of find out, you know, how to contact a decent person to, you know, negotiate or to, you know, go over the contract with?
Typically, an entertainment lawyer is what you're looking for.
Okay.
Someone who deals with licensing rights and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and let me ask you this, just because it kind of goes, if, you know, a cartoonist does not get syndicated and they decide to go ahead and, you know, try to build an audience on their own or maybe self-syndicate, which I've heard is virtually impossible, but, you know, I think it may very well be possible to go ahead and maybe put something in a magazine or, you know, maybe a weekly newspaper or something. And I've noticed just going over some of the markets and, you know, some of the books that are out there that, you know, say or have different magazines and publications that accept submissions and comic strips and things. My concern is that my strip has a recurring character in it. You know, it's not a single panel where it's, you know, different animals or, you know, it's I have a single, you know, I have characters that recur over and over again. And my fear is that a lot of publications, they have a clause that say they own the rights to the artwork for like a one-time sell. So if I sell, you know, a single strip to, you know, a women's magazine or something, does that mean that I can no longer use those characters again? I guess that's kind of my main concern, I suppose. Is
now, the publications you're talking about are magazines?
You know, primarily, because I've come across a couple that will say, you know, we own, you know, the rights to the artwork. I don't know if that's like a single time or.
Yeah, typically, you know, magazines, what's usually in their contract is first time North American publication rights, for example, which means that you're doing something, you're submitting something to them, and they get to run it first. You know, and that's it. After they run it, then, you know, the rights are yours. They don't own the right to the artwork or the characters. They just want that first right to run it. So, in other words, they don't want another magazine to be running it at the same time, for example.
Okay. I see.
Now, it could be that – now, you want to make sure that that's what it says. I mean, I'm not looking at the contract that you've seen. But that's a typical contract that I've looked at. So obviously, I mean, if you sell a strip or a gag cartoon to a magazine under those conditions, then you want to be able to honor that and not, you know, publication running it at the same time. Although you may be able to run it on your site and in the publication, but you'll have to talk to them and ask them if that's okay.
Okay. So, and I guess that goes into my other question too, is that, probably I should try to sell the strip first before posting on my website, and that somehow would have more appeal to them.
Whenever you can sell your strip first to anyone,
right?
You know, it's always going to be a better deal than posting it for mm-hmm. free on the website. You know, that first time that you run it, because even if you run the strip once in a magazine, and then, you know, 3 or 4 months down the road, another magazine comes back to you and says, "Oh, we'd like to run that strip." They may not pay you as much because it's already been out there. Everything's negotiable. So it's really a matter of what you negotiate. But
okay,
typically, you know, the first person that runs that is really going to pay the premium because that hasn't been seen anywhere before. It's not in any other publication, and their audience is seeing it for the very first time. So you might want to consider that when pricing stuff out.
Okay. So that means that I can go ahead, like if I go ahead and sell it to a magazine, that a month later I can still go ahead and put it on a mug or something if I want to, or up on the website, or.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I mean, you again, you'll want to cover that with them and make sure you go over their specific contract as to, you know, how long they'll need, because if it's a monthly publication, you want to let it run for a month, and maybe after that month, you know, after those 30 days, you'll be able to do other stuff with it. Or maybe they don't care if you're running, you know, if you're trying to sell a mug with the image on it while it's in their magazine, because it's probably not going to be the same audience that's looking at it. So all those little things, you got to just bring it up in conversation when you're doing that. Obviously, if you don't have any intention of putting it on a mug at that particular moment, there's no sense in bringing it up and muddying the waters.
Well, and this is something else, because this is completely new to me as far as pricing goes. You know, I've you know, seen some different rates that cartoonists have online, you know, and for a cartoonist that doesn't have a syndication contract and that's trying to, you know, because for myself, we're trying to negotiate with just my own community newspaper, which is fabulous. But, you know, trying to, you know, decipher what is the right price, you know, is very difficult. Is it based on, you know, the circulation of the publication? You know, is there price differences? There must be between, you know, offering a black and white or a color. You know, do you have an opinion of, you know, what would be a fair price?
Syndicates charge the newspapers depending on their circulation. You're probably just at the mercy of the newspaper when they tell you what their rate is, and then decide at that point if it's something that you're willing to do it for. You know, and if it's not, come back with a counter offer. They are getting something that's nowhere else, not in other papers. It's unique to them. That's a selling point that you have to build up. Your audience also, it's a very specific audience that maybe they're trying to track to the paper. You need to be able to highlight what your strip brings to the table. It's not just a funny strip. You got to really build the value in what you're supplying, whether it be the audience, what they can expect to get out of those kind of readers, build up the value for the newspaper.
Okay. Well, you know, and something I did recently was I asked my fan base, as you probably know, to go ahead and post a comment on the website that for the newspaper that had interviewed me. And, you know, the response was just incredible. So, and, you know, we talked to the editor yesterday, and she said that, yes, she did notice that, you know, there were, you know, 50-some comments or whatever. So I imagine that's something that I could use as leverage as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, and take a close look at, maybe do a survey of your audience. Find out if it's mostly men, mostly women, what age range are they in. All that could really help in identifying who your target audience is for the newspapers, because they think in terms of target audiences as well. The more information you go in with from a marketing standpoint. But the other end of that is really creating the value for your client, and that's how you build your prices up, and that's how you build your value. Maybe even income levels, if they're comfortable with that, depending on the kind of relationship you have with them. If they're signing up for your blog or whatever, and they're online and you have constant communication with them, they may be comfortable giving you that, and let them know why you need it. And they may be more than happy to assist you in that.
And it's something I can use as far as the marketing to syndicates and things like this.
Absolutely. For the syndicates, if the syndicates don't bite, you can use it to self-syndicate and go after other newspapers in different cities. If you have, you know, depending on where your readers are from, I mean, if you're online and, you know, your readers could be from everywhere, you can even have readers help you out with a campaign to help influence a feature editor at their local newspaper to carry your strip. So there's a lot of different things that you can do.
Okay. Well, I have another question about as far as cartoonists giving their work away. There are a lot of, you know, and my comic is, you know, it's now known as like a web comic. And I don't know, that might have a, you know, that may be a very bad mark. I don't know. But, you know, I've heard from the people that do web comics that it's based on, a music model. Like, people hear a song on the radio for free, and, you know, they hear the song over and over again, and that, in a sense, you know, they go out and they, you know, download it on iTunes or buy a CD or something, or they go to a concert. So do you think that model works? Is that, you know, so if you provide your strip for free online, say the syndicates say no, newspapers are saying no. You know, what's your opinion on that avenue and that model of, if I provide this, someone may buy, you know, a T-shirt or a print or, you
right.
know, I don't know.
There's usually some very heated conversations between web cartoonists and, for lack of other word, you know, traditional mainstream cartoonists, I guess, the ones that
right.
are, you know, in papers. And, you know, the syndicated cartoonists, the traditional cartoonists that have worked for print can't see why, the large majority of them can't see why anyone would post your strips online for free. Their position is that it devalues it in the marketplace. To a certain extent, they're right. I mean, if you're giving it away for free, no one's going to pay for it. On the other hand, it's a totally different business model. And that's what the traditional, you know, paper cartoonists don't seem to get, which the web cartoonists do. And it's really no different from any other online business. You look at a lot of online businesses, and a lot of them give away a lot of stuff for free to build their traffic and build their audience and build a mailing list. Okay, when you do that kind of a model, you have to realize that the least valuable aspect of what you're doing is that comic strip in and of itself when you put it out there. The value is on the back end part of your business, posters, limited
right.
prints, special membership service that gives them access to private stuff of yours that no one else is getting access to.
Okay.
You know, you really got to get creative with this stuff, but you need a back end to make it work. If you don't have a back end and all you have is the strip, well, then, yeah, it's going to be a long, broke ride. You know,
right.
You're not making money anymore. It could be a very successful business model if done correctly and if you can develop the following. So there's nothing wrong with that model. You need to sell at some point is the bottom line.
Right.
Then you need to have something to sell and someone to sell it to on the back end.
Okay, interesting. Okay, well, let me ask you this based on that. You know, I have built up, you know, what I think is a fairly large audience. So,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kicking myself because what I want and have always wanted, which to me is the holy grail, is to be in print, you know, which is, you know, unfortunately newspapers are, you know, kind of on the downslide and things.
Right.
But, you know, Sunday they still offer that in color every Sunday, you know, so... to me that then, you know, so I'm kicking myself a little bit here, but I don't know if there's a way to kind of, you know, balance the two and maybe just write, you know, just, you know, keep writing strips, but maybe just post one a week as opposed to, you know, two or three or, you know, all of
right.
them or something to kind of keep that audience and to keep them happy, but, you know, still have my bank of strips that maybe just save for newspapers. What's your opinion on that? Maybe doing something, because I feel I built up this wonderful audience, and now I feel like I, you know, I can't let them down because, you know, but at the same time, you know, I heard a great quote the other day. It was something like, you know, when bankers get together, they talk about art, but when artists get together, they talk about, you know, how to make money.
Right.
And I think that's a great quote because, you know, I mean, ultimately it's fun, but, you know, it sure would be nice to, you know, be in print and, you know, actually, you know, do this for a living. It would be a wonderful way to make a living. So
right.
I guess I'm just, you know, wondering if maybe that's something that I should be doing, just, you know, maybe keep my audience, maybe just post one a week, keep the others for the syndicates and kind of, you know, keep pushing for that kind of, you know, ultimate route there, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to develop that web presence. It's really important that you do both because the syndication model as it is right now, I mean, the newspapers, I mean, it's no news to anyone. Newspapers are really hurting really badly right now. And a lot of people are looking at the syndication model, syndication to newspapers, as something that's dying out. And it's not a growing industry by any means. So a lot of people aren't really looking to get syndicated so much as they are, you know, they're kind of really leaning more towards the web and kind of developing their own thing where they don't have to have a 50-50 split. They have more control over what they're doing. So if you're in the process of trying to get syndicated by a major syndicate, by all means, continue doing what you're doing on the web. It's not going to affect it at all. If anything, it's, you know, you're developing a larger audience, and you're enabling yourself to be able to sell yourself to a syndicate a whole lot easier.
Okay. Couple more things. I also wanted to ask you if another community newspaper that we've talked to about my strip, they have offered to run it, but they would like to run it for free. So just starting out, you know, gosh, you know, it'd be wonderful just to see yourself in print, you know, even if you don't get paid for it. What's your opinion on that as far as, you know, not selling it and just, you know, but just getting your name out there and maybe having, you know, one or two, maybe, you know, much smaller, you know, in your own community run the strip for free?
You know, that's a real touchy one because, I mean, it really comes down to a personal preference. What I do has value, and if someone wants to run it, then they can pay me. I understand because when I started out, I wanted to see my stuff in print too. I mean, you know, so I wanted to make it easy for that to happen. What you can maybe do is, maybe negotiate, say, you know, maybe have them run it. Was it going to be like a daily thing or a weekly?
Well, you know, for me, I would never do a daily for free. I mean, that would just be
a lot of work,
you know. Exactly, for what, you know. This would be more of a weekly thing. So, you know, it's something I'm doing already anyways. I'm posting it on the web. It's like, so, but I see your point as far as, you know, devaluing it. And I think that's
a
great
point. Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't necessarily have to devalue it. I mean, it really depends on how you choose to look at it. It really is. Because if you're just looking, you know, from a print cartoonist standpoint where the value is in the print, well then, you know, I'm giving you my work for free, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm from the mindset that my value is on the internet, then yeah, I'll give it to you for free. My link is on there. I'm going to drive more traffic to my site of people who are local who are probably going to be more devoted fans than people who may not be local, and set up your site to be able to take advantage of that. Again, through books, posters, and, you know, your back end. So
right.
You can look at it where the value is just the print, you know, which in this case it really, you know, it could be or it may not be. You know, if you don't have a website and you don't have a back end, then, yeah, the value is the print. If you have a website and you have a back end that you're building up, then the value is there, not necessarily in the print, because the print's a one-time thing.
Right.
Where the value, where you can get someone from that sees that in the paper – and get them to your site, and they become part of a member of your community, and you start emailing them and building a relationship and offering them, you know, different opportunities to purchase from you, then what's the limit there? There is no limit.
Right.
You know, it really depends on how you choose to look at it and really the business model that you're leaning towards.
Okay. That's great.
I hope that answers that.
Yeah, no, it does. It does because, you know, I think every cartoonist – ultimately, you know, wants to, you know, see themselves in print.
To see the stuff in print, I still kind of get goosebumps sometimes to be able to, you know, see my stuff next to some of these other strips that I think are really cool. But it's always cool to have that. But you got to keep the emotional part of you in check and really kind of look at it realistically. And
right.
Again, if you're looking at it for a business standpoint, you got to get serious about that and really figure out where the money is for you there.
Right, absolutely. I wanted to also ask you as far as using brand names in a strip. You know, I've noticed that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, TV shows like Saturday Night Live can parody political figures and different, you know, mention different names of stores and things like that. And I've noticed that some strips do it. Some strips
mm-hmm.
actually mention, you know, celebrities or you know, Coca-Cola or something, and others kind of just, you know, instead of saying Costco, they'll say, you know, big box store
right.
or something. So what is, you know, what's the actual rule with that? As far, if you mention the trademark or how does that work? Is it easier or better to say Starbucks or should we use Star Schmucks?
You know, there really isn't a hard, fast rule for that. I mean, we've used name brands before and specific people in our strip in the past. Now, the syndicates tend to shy away from stuff like that because they just don't want to have to deal with the backlash if something, you know, particularly if something's negative. If you're mostly on the web, you know, you can really do whatever you want. The only reason that you see a lot of people backing off from it in print is, again, because editors, and it's not so much the editors of the syndicate, it's the editors of the newspapers. They don't want to have to deal with the backlash on it. So syndicate editors become very sensitive to that.
So if that's kind of your ultimate goal is to be in print, then avoid using
any sort of
brand name.
Just to be safe. The editors do get touchy about it, and magazines probably the same, maybe to a lesser extent, but magazines, you know, any kind of publication, you know, they're going to have those concerns.
Well, I appreciate you talking to me about everything. Great information to have, so thank you so much.
That this gets you up and rolling, and I hope you hear from the syndicates real soon with a contract in hand.
Well, I hope I do, and I'll be contacting you with more questions. I'd love to talk more about that as well. So
hey, it's my pleasure.
It. All right, sounds great.
Smoky.
Thanks so much.
So anyway, that concludes this Q&A. I hope it's been helpful. So what are you struggling with? What's the biggest hurdle you have right now regarding your cartooning or freelance illustration career? Drop me a line at drawnbysuccess.com. I'll get you the answers you absolutely need to succeed. This is Carlos Castellanos for drawnbysuccess.com. I'll see you at the top.